Bible, and this week we have Jehovah, I knew I was going to say it wrong, Emkadesh. I'm pretty sure it's how you pronounce it according to the pronunciation there. So Emkadesh, Jehovah Emkadesh, which means the Lord sanctifies. And we just have that first verse there, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you, in Leviticus. So we see, as you've been going, and I'm not usually here in Sunday school, I'm usually on the bus, so I haven't necessarily been sitting through all the different lessons on the names of God. But in this handout, Pastor puts in here a little bit about different names that that's already been talked about. And I'll just read the first paragraph. God progressively continues to reveal the truth concerning the character and attributes that comprise his nature. In this process of revelation, we find that the order in which these compound names appear shows the purpose and progression designed to meet the developing spiritual needs of the people. Genesis, Genesis, the book of beginnings, he reveals that he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's able to provide. Exodus, the book of redemption, shows Jehovah Jireh as the Passover lamb, Jehovah Rapha as the Lord that heals, and Jehovah Nissi with Israel's banner there of victory. And then Leviticus, it has this name, Jehovah Emkadesh, as the Lord who sanctifies. And in review, those who have been here and have learned the other names and sat through the other lessons, and we look here as God reveals himself in the Bible to his people and what they need, and shows that he is, in his name, show that he is everything that his people need. There's nothing that he is not able to do. There's nothing that he is not able to meet your needs with. But the progression of which he reveals himself is interesting, is the fact that he reveals it as they need. In Genesis, they needed someone who could provide, and that's what he revealed himself, and that's what the name he used. In Exodus, they needed someone who could heal, and who was the Passover lamb, and that's how he revealed himself. And we see that that's the form of leadership that Jesus has. I don't know how many people have had our leaders or have had good leaders or bosses, but you usually find the best leaders that you have, looking back in your life, are those leaders that knew how to meet their followers or the people or those that they were teaching where they were at. You know, as a Sunday school teacher or as a father in a family or as a boss at work or someone in a position, when you can go to your followers, the people who are coming after you, who you're teaching or you're training, and you can be to them what they need at that moment and change as they change and adjust, it's much easier for the followers to stay, and you build that loyalty. I mean, you have bosses that are lazy or just, make you do everything, and okay, they're the boss, you have to do what they say, and you do, but it doesn't really inspire any sort of loyalty towards them, or it's your job. It's a job, you go, you got a boss or whatever. But when you have a boss that works just as hard as you do and even harder, and he's there to help you and he's there to meet you and he's there to be what you need at that moment and not always just criticizing you or making you do everything, it inspires that loyalty and that camaraderie that you want to do. You want to do what this boss wants you to tell you to do. When he asks a favor of you, you're more apt to do that. And that's the kind of leader we have here. That's the kind of leader we have in God, is a leader who, yes, embodies all the characteristics of what we've studied and what we will study, but not only does he embody all that, but he knows when to reveal that and when to put in to be what we need. And as a leader, we can not only learn and take advantage of the names and the attributes that he has, but learn from his example. To be a good leader is to be able to be what your followers need. And that's what God is. That's what he has been in this Bible and to those people, the Israelites back in the Bible times, and that's what he is to us now. And that's what these names, different names of God and how he's revealed to us, shows and illustrates to us. So today, the Lord that sanctifies, and we look here at the very first blank. I'm not usually here, so I guess I'll just read it, and you're going to fill in? Is that how it works? If I don't give you the answers, You're out of luck, huh? And now there's no test at the end, right? Some of you'd be out of luck. All right. Oh, and on that note, just I think today is Grandparents Day. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure. So all you grandparents, thank you for being grandparents. All right. The word sanctify. Okay, I'm going to read the first blank there is sanctify. This first paragraph. The word sanctify in its various forms appears some 700 times in Scripture. Now, a lot of times you get confused, or maybe not confused, but there is a difference in the Bible that uses the term justification, and in the Bible that uses the term sanctification. What's really the difference? And I'm sure Pastor has taught on this before, but just the difference is here, because I noticed he had a note in here about this. So justification is what God does for us. Sanctification is what God does in us. So God justified God justified us, and he did that work for us. That justification is something that was done for us. Christ died on the cross, and he did all the work for that, and it's all done. It's all bought and paid for, and that was done for us. There's nothing we do to get that. Justification is given to us. But sanctification, and we see here in this the name of God here, God who sanctifies, justification is something that is done in us. Now, we'll see later in the lesson that there's two facets of sanctification that we'll talk about a little bit later. But just keep in mind, it's something that's done within us, it's something that's done inside of us. So, no other name more truly expresses the character of Jehovah and his requirements of his people than this name, Jehovah M. Kadesh, equals Jehovah who sanctifies. And while you write that, just copy that down if you don't know how to spell it. I don't know how often Pastor or others look in these scriptures, but I'm a young guy, and I know I'm reading pretty much the lesson as it is, but I like to go to the Bible. And I'm not going to go to every single one of these scriptures that's listed in this handout, but I have marked some to go to, so if you want to turn there, great, you don't have to, but I'm going to. And I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel 2:2. I'm going to read that. Talking about the name Jehovah who sanctifies. It says in verse 2, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Now it talks about holiness there. It uses the term holiness. Again, we'll talk about a little bit later on in the lesson. But right there, there's none like God. There's none holy as the Lord. There's no other person, no other being out there that's holy like the Lord is. And it says in the next paragraph that the Hebrew word which translates is also translated by English words such as, and I'm going to give you a list of words to write down in there, dedicate, consecrate, sanctuary, hallow, as in hallowed ground, H-O-L-L-O-W, not hollow as in Stephen Cole's head, and holy. Dedicate, consecrate, sanctuary, hallow, and holy. But especially by the word holy, which is the word that was used there in 1 Samuel 2:2. And often the Holy One period. The primary meaning is to set apart or separate and dedicate to. I'll read those words one more time. So the first blank was dedicate, consecrate, sanctuary, holy, and then, but especially by the word holy and often the Holy One, and then the primary meaning is to set apart or separate and dedication to. Running out of real estate on this pulpit here. So, we look at the sanctify. In the English, we have a lot of different words for it, but you notice they all follow the same vein. Sanctification is something you can dedicate it or consecrate it. It's something that is, we'll see here in just a second, set apart. There's a lot of different terms we use in English, but sanctification is not just something, again, that is done for us. It's something that's done in us. There's a difference there. Salvation, the justification by salvation is done for us. There's nothing you do for salvation. Salvation is given as a gift. Sanctification is not the same way. It's something that's done within us. And put the next one up here. The term holiness, right? Let's talk about holiness. Term holiness is from the Hebrew, but it's in that word there, kadesh. K-A-D-D-E-S-H. That's the term holiness is taken from, the term holiness is taken from that Hebrew word, which is where we take the word sanctify. Or hello. Sanctify or hello. This describes the primary meaning. Okay. Blank number 15. Holy represents that which is hallowed. Or set apart. Holy represents that which is hallowed or set apart. Am I going too fast? Everybody... So the first blank there on that second page is the word that's in the name of God, Kadesh. Sanctify or hallow describes the primary meaning. Holy represents that which is hallowed or set apart. All right, blank number 18, separation is the natural result of sanctification. It is to set apart, set aside, place to be apart from, recognized individually. Separation is the natural result of sanctification. And right there, I'm going to pause right there. Separation is the natural result of sanctification. You know, as Christians, we need to live a separated life. And again, in on the next page, I believe, we talk about the two facets of sanctification. But separation is part of a Christian life. I mean, it's clearly taught in the Bible. God is clearly a holy God. He's a separated. That's how he is. And Jesus was separated. He didn't partake. Now he went and he ministered to the sinners and the publicans, but he didn't partake of their sin. He was separated from it. And Jesus being our examples, we need to follow that and live separated lives. But a lot of times we live separate. What happens is we live separated lives just to live separated lives. You know, good Christians, yes, live separated lives, but they're not good Christians because they live separated lives. That's a result of being sanctified, and that's a natural that just happens. When you live a sanctified, a holy life, you become separated from things of the world because they just don't mix. And a lot of times we as Christians, and I think every single one of us is guilty of it, is we get focused on the separation part. You know, separation doesn't make you a good Christian. I mean, there's a lot of groups of people in this world, in our communities around, that are separated in some form. But just that separation from maybe even wrong things, and, you know, the Amish, they're separated from a lot of things that we consider wrong as Christians, but that doesn't make them good Christians, just that separation. Sanctification is more than just being separate is part of sanctification, but it's more than just being separated, living a sanctified life. Separation is a result of being sanctified. So let's not get so focused on, oh, you know, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do this, so I must be a good Christian. I must be sanctified. That's not necessarily true, and we see that. You know, right here, separation is the natural result of sanctification. And I think there's many stories and things in the Bible that illustrate that point. And we see that God, moving on to the next paragraph, God does sanctify, separate, set apart certain things. And it says, examples, God sanctifies the Sabbath. So he sanctifies certain days. I'm going to read a verse in Genesis. That first one there, Genesis 2, 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that and he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So, obviously, God sanctifies days, or one could say maybe events, and we see that a little later on. That is, he set it apart from other days.
It was unique.
Other days were also, next blank, set apart. Or sanctified. There's more verses there, Leviticus. I won't go into all of them. But so other days were also set apart or sanctified. God calls these set apart days holy convocations. And I'll spell that for you if you don't know how to spell that. God calls these set apart days holy convocations. 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 These days or times, seasons or years were set apart from others. And once again, they were set apart to the Lord. I'll read the paragraph one more time. It was unique. Other days were also, blank number 19, set apart or sanctified. God calls these set-apart days holy convocations. These days or times, seasons or years were set apart from others. They were set apart to the Lord. So obviously, in the Bible, examples, God has taken, and part of his name, God who sanctifies, first of all, we see he sanctifies days. He sanctifies seasons. He sanctifies years. There was a lot of different, back in the Old Testament, the Passover and the Sabbath, and there was different events that God set apart. So he's a God who sanctifies and he does days. Next paragraph. There are blank 24. Sanctified. There are sanctified. Yeah. Okay. It's wrong. It's wrong. The transparency is right. My sheet's wrong. These are sanctified. The camp of Israel, the hill of Zion, Bethel, Jerusalem, the altar, the tabernacle, the temple, and all these different things. So not only does he sanctify days or events, God, M. Kadesh, also sanctifies places, buildings, Camp of Israel, Zion, Bethel, Jerusalem, cities. So it's not just us as believers we see in the Bible that God sanctifies. He's a God who sanctifies, and he sanctifies a bunch of different things. So these are sanctified. And then blank number 25, M. Kadesh, again the name of God, is the word frequently used to define both temple and tabernacle, and is very similar to M. Kadesh. I'm wondering if I'm missing something, but they're spelled the exact same, so. So M. Kadesh is the word frequently used to define both temple and tabernacle, and it's very similar to M. Kadesh and means sanctuary. Again, we looked at, I was on that first page. I lost it now. But sanctuary was one of the words that you wrote down, consecrate, hallow, if you put down sanctuary, was one of those English words that kind of describes or is a synonym to the name of God here, or sanctify. Let's see. next paragraph, verse blank number 28. There are set apart persons. Okay, so God sets apart days, events. He sets about sets apart cities, buildings, places, and of course there are set apart persons. Even as Jeremiah from birth, that was blank number 28. Set apart persons. Even as Jeremiah from birth, the firstborn of Israel, the priest, and the people. And I'm just going to flip over to Jeremiah and read this one really quick. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. So, God clearly sanctifies or sets apart persons. Last paragraph on that page, the purpose of being set apart was, blank number 29, Jehovah. The purpose of being set apart was Jehovah. It was not just a separation from, but a separation to, and that was always to Jehovah. Again, what we illustrated there before, separation is not just a result of being, it is a result of being sanctified. So you're not just, God just doesn't separate people. He doesn't say, okay, well, I'm just going to separate you. You know, you just be different. And with no reason why, he sets apart people, he sanctifies people to a purpose, to something. It's to Jehovah, to God. That's what he sanctifies us to. That's what he sets us apart to. So if we're living a separated life from the world or from certain things that Christians aren't supposed to do, but we're not separated to anything, we're just separated from things, then we're not following the example of God. We're not fulfilling the name of God here. He doesn't sanctify people just to set them apart. God sanctifies people and places to a specific purpose. And here's Jehovah. The last blank on that page, Jehovah is holy. Separate from that which is common or unclean. Jehovah is apart from and above all else in the universe. So Jehovah is holy. Did anybody miss any blanks or anything? I want to go back and I want to make sure everybody has it. Okay. Is that the right page? I have so many pages up here. My notes are slightly different. Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Isaiah 44:06, and a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Isaiah 45:21. So let's talk a little bit about sanctification and holiness. First blank on your page, 32, says there is sanctification only in the Lord Jehovah M. Kadesh because he is separate. There is sanctification only in the Lord. Can't be sanctified in anything else. There's no other God, there's no other religion, there's no other thing that can be sanctified to. You can only be sanctified to God. A just God and Savior, there is none beside me. That's pretty clear. You know, there's not really many ways you can interpret that verse. There's none beside God to be sanctified to. Blank 33, holiness is separation from that which is not of God. Sin is not of God. God is holy. That is separate from sin. I'll read that sentence again. Holiness is separation from that which is not of God. Sin is not of God. God is holy, that is separate from sin. So, sin's not of God. God's holy. or God's. So, therefore, sin is not of God, and you can't have both. You can't be of God and be of sin, because God is holy and separate from sin. Verse 36, fallen man separated himself, fallen men, or fallen man, separated himself from a holy God. And was overcome by sin, therefore man became unholy. So, holiness is separation from that which is not of God. Sin is not of God. So God is holy because he's separate from sin. Fallen man separated himself from God to sin, therefore fallen man is unholy. That's, you know, I mean, it's not hard to understand that. If you're separated to sin, you're unholy. God is separated from sin, so he is holy. So to be more like God, to be separated to God, we need to separate ourselves from sin, just like God is separated from sin. Next paragraph. God chose man to provide redemption, which is restoration to the state of sanctification. Sanctification, or separation from sin, to a holy God. This is positional sanctification, and is obtained only in Christ. So here's where we start talking about the two different facets of sanctification. All right, the first facet is positional sanctification. I'll read that again. God chose man and provided redemption, which is restoration to a state of sanctification, or separation from sin, to an holy God. This is positional sanctification, and is obtained only in Christ. Having been set apart from God, we must willingly take him as our holiness. It is the Lord that does sanctify us. Exodus 31:13. So, positional sanctification is being separated from sin to a holy God. Again, now, sanctification is something that's done in us. So, justification is something God's given to us, done for us. Sanctification is God inside of us. God sets us apart from that sin, that sin nature we were born with, that sin nature that will send you to hell if you don't get separated from it. That's what that positional sanctification does. It puts us in a place where, positionally, the Bible talks about a circumcision we were made without hands. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, but it's separate. And when we're born, we're made a new creature. And we become separate from the flesh. Now, we still sin. Our body still sins, and the body will pay the price for that sin, and we'll be corrupted, and we'll die. And if we don't get that sin taken care of, our communication with God will suffer, and we won't have the relationship we should have. But that has no effect on our position as far as everlasting life, as far as being sanctified from that sin nature. So the first facet, positional sanctification, is given at salvation, and is done in us by God at salvation. Salvation is a result of God separating fallen man from sin. Without separation from sin, no man can come unto God, for God is separate from sin. 1 Peter, be holy, for I am holy. I'm almost done here. I got one more page, and time is running out. So, be holy, for I am holy. Blank number 41, holiness, or sanctification, is a position that is obtained through Christ. In him is holiness, and when we are in Christ, we inherently obtain holiness. So when we are saved, positionally, we are sanctified, meaning we are separated from our sin nature, so unto eternal life. Again, we're not just separated from it, we're separated unto eternal life. We're separated to God. God does that work in us positionally. And that's what these verses say. Be holy, for I am holy. And these other verses, I'm just going to read one, just to illustrate this. In Ephesians, I'll read that paragraph one more time so you can make sure you get those blanks. Holiness or sanctification is a position that is obtained through Christ. Holiness or sanctification. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, none of us are good enough to go to heaven on our own, even after being saved. We still sin. So it's obviously not anything that we can do that gives us that positional sanctification. So it's talking about here being salvation and sanctified through that. So that's the first part. You can flip the page. And we'll talk about the other one here. All right. Sanctification is blank number 43, positional. We just talked about. Oh, yours was still on the other page? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Blank number 43 on the other page. Sanctification is positional, but it is also progressive. So there's positional sanctification and progressive sanctification. What's the difference? Being conformed or subject to completion. That's what the progressive means. It means being conformed or subject to completion. And of course, I don't know, many of you, the verse will probably pop to your mind. Be conformed, where God tells us to be conformed, and we need to work on things. And that's where we talk about, in the book, I believe it's James talking about works, and you'll know my works by you'll know who I am, my deeds by my works. I'm butchering the verses, but that's where being conformed or trying to get close, this is the progressive sanctification. This is also a part of being sanctified. This is also a part of God. I'm gonna skip those verses there. Next blank 45. But sanctification is also perfection when we have been separated wholly unto God. Perfection, blank 45. I am going to read this verse in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2 says, and it says verse 20 here, I'm going to back up a verse, start reading 20. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, the difference between positional and progressive sanctification is being illustrated. I was thinking, how to illustrate that. And this verse does a pretty good job talking about vessels. I'm thinking, I'm getting married in a couple months. There's going to be a wedding reception. We're going to have every wedding, there's a wedding reception. And how many times you sat down at a reception or just a nice restaurant and you look at the table and there's like four sets of every type of silverware that you can. There's three different plates on the table. There's three cups. And, which one do I use? And, you got all these dishes on the table, but there's a lot of different things. Now, the way I thought of this as an illustration is, okay, we're at the master's table, all those dishes there, all that silverware and the china and the crystal and all that stuff, it's all sanctified. Positionally, it's all on the table. Positionally, it's all there. If the master wants to use it, it's available. It's been set on the table, and it's in the right position to be used. It's been sanctified. It's been set apart. It's been consecrated for the master to use if he wants. However, if he goes down to pick up one of the glasses, and there's dirt, and there's grime, and there's a bunch of garbage in the cup, then he's going to choose a different vessel, a different glass that is not only sanctified positionally, it's not only there for him to use, but it's also clean and ready to be used. And that's where progressive sanctification comes in. Yes, every Christian, anybody who's been saved, is positionally sanctified before a holy God. And we will never have to face the judgment of our sins because it was paid for on Calvary. So positionally, we're in a position to be used by God. But whether God uses us or not, whether we can be used in the way that God wants to use us, depends on our progressive sanctification, how much we've consecrated ourselves to God, how much that we have done. And that's something, yes, Christ does in us, but we have a part in that. We're following the principles of the Bible and doing what needs to be done and reading our Bibles and seeking after counsel and doing the right things and living right. That's where our progressive, and we're always working to become, nobody's going to become perfect on earth, but we need to work towards that. The process of sanctification involves, blank number 46, body, soul, and spirit. I end at 10 till, right? Or quarter till? I got a nod there. 10 or quarter? Quarter? Yeah, okay. 10, if you're lucky. All right. So I'm going to finish this up, so make sure you have all the blanks here in the last 5 minutes. Process of sanctification involves body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. The body, blank 49, is the seat of our senses. By its members, the body connects us to the world without and around, and so represents, blank 50, world consciousness. So the body is how you interact with the world. That's your body. That's what your neighbors see. That's what your coworker sees. That's what your family sees. They see your body. How you interact with people, that needs to be sanctified to God. The process of sanctification, this progressive sanctification, involves all these areas, body, soul, and spirit. The body is what interacts with the world around us, and that needs to be sanctified. That the people around us at your workplace or wherever you might be, your family, need to see you set apart. That's part of this progressive sanctification. Your body is how you interact with the world. World consciousness. God requires that our members be used as instruments of righteousness. You can look the verses up later. We don't have time to go turn to them. But look those up later. Our body should be an instrument of righteousness. Secondly, blank 51, the spirit is the seat of our emotions. Our emotions, affections, desires, and imaginations. It's what we think. It's what we dream about. It's our dreams. It is the self-consciousness. The spirit is the seat of our emotions, affections, desires, and imaginations. It is the self-consciousness, or the active will of man. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to grow. I want to be an astronaut when I grow up. I want to do this when I grow up. Little kids, the dreams they have. Young adults, people in business. These are my dreams. This is what I want for my business. This is what I want to accomplish in my life. Those are our dreams. That's our spirit. That needs to be set apart. That needs to be sanctified to God as well. We need to yield our desires to what God would have for us. That's sanctifying our spirit. And lastly, the soul, blank 53, the soul is the seat of God in the heart of man. And so it represents God consciousness. Blank 54, God consciousness. The soul is the seat of God in the heart of man and represents the God consciousness. It is receptive of and responsive to divine revelation. Through, blank 55, the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we are eternally linked to God. And through the process of progressive sanctification, we communicate, I'll read these again, and conform to holiness, which is God. So through our soul, the Spirit speaks to us, and God will direct us, and God will lead us, and if we're sanctified in our soul to God, He will guide us in the way we should live. So our body needs to be sanctified for those around us, for the world that we live in, so they can see there's something different. But if our body is the only part of us that's sanctified or set apart from the world, it doesn't mean you're a good Christian. It means you're a weirdo. Your soul, your spirit's got to be sanctified. Your dreams have got to be given to God, given up, yielded to Him. And your soul, the consciousness of God, knowing God, being able to know when the Spirit is moving you and the Spirit is leading you, that needs to be sanctified to God as well. You got to have all these parts. Commune, communicate, and conform to holiness, which is God. The Holy Spirit, all right, I'll read that paragraph one last time. And the soul is the seat of God in the heart of man, so represents God consciousness. It is receptive of and responsive to divine revelation. Through the Holy Spirit, we are eternally linked to God, and through the process of progressive sanctification, we commune, communicate, and conform to holiness, which is God. Jehovah M-Kadesh is our pattern. We are to be conformed to his image of holiness, blank 60, and sanctification. And then very quickly, in conclusion, Jehovah M-Kadesh desires to restore fallen man from sin unto holiness, to conform us, to separate his word from the lost, to draw his people unto him. Restore fallen man from sin to holiness, that's positional. To conform us, that's progressive. To separate his own from the lost, positional. To draw his people unto him, progressive. So there's two parts. You got to have both parts of sanctification. God has both parts of that sanctification. Lastly, blank 64 or 61, we have been sanctified by Jehovah M-Kadesh through his word and are now being conformed unto holiness. If you've been saved, you've been sanctified positionally. God's done that work. He's already done that work in you. You are sanctified to God from your sin nature. Positionally, you're ready to be used. You're in the right position for God to use you. However, and you now need to be conformed unto his holiness so that when it's time for God to use you and he goes to pick up that glass to take a drink, you're not only there, but you're ready when he needs you. So let's pray and we'll be done. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this morning. I just pray that you would just be with us in the service to come. Lord, be with passion, fill them with your spirit. Help us to leave here encouraged and closer to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.